Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to The Pilot Episode, a podcast dedicated to discussing the first episode of your favorite TV show. Let's find out if they hit the ground running or stumbled out of the gate.
I kind of think it would be funny if we started doing like the last podcast on the left does, and we just like the show starts and we're in mid-sentence talking about something and then go into the show. But
I think it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it takes people who actually like, they enjoy one another's company and talk off mic.
Yeah, we don't do that.
Never.
Hello and welcome to the pilot episode. I'm Jeff.
I'm Corey.
And I'm Regina.
And today I'm excited about this show. We're going to talk about The Jeffersons, which was the first first spinoff of All in the Family, and the first of many, and actually ran longer than All in the Family did. It premiered on January 18th, 1975 on CBS and ran until July 2nd, 1985 for 11 seasons and a total of 253 episodes.
It's impressive.
Yeah,
it is one of the longest running sitcoms in history, and the second longest sitcom, the second longest running series with a primarily African-American cast by episode count. And the first to prominently feature a married interracial couple.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for not asking what the longest running one was, because I did not think to write that down.
You're welcome.
The show focuses on George and Louise Wheezy Jefferson, a prosperous African-American couple who've been able to move from their Queens house to a Manhattan high rise owing to the success of George's dry cleaning chain, Jefferson Cleaners. I have a Jefferson dry cleaner shirt that Pam got me a couple of years ago.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. The show was launched as the second and longest running spinoff of All in the Family, on which the Jeffersons had been the neighbors of Archie and Edith Bunker. It was a creation of Norman Lear, and it eventually evolved into more of a traditional sitcom, in focusing more on just comedy than on, you know, tackling the issues of the day. But it still did occasionally focus on serious issues such as alcoholism, racism, suicide, gun control, adult illiteracy, the N-word, and I'm going to say the H-word, since... You know,
sure.
Were used occasionally, especially during the earlier seasons, and especially in this first episode. And did it burn anybody's ear when George said it in this episode?
No,
but it was wild, because whenever you're hearing sitcom paced dialogue, you don't expect to hear hard R's, you know.
Right.
It's one of those things.
Right.
Well, and we'll talk about it. I think the reaction of the cast, the characters in the show, I think were, you know, was appropriate. So,
For sure. Mm-hmm. It's just not some, it's been so long since that's something that is, you know, widely put on a, you know, daytime sitcom that
right.
It was just unexpected to be like, oh yeah, that's right. This was in a time when they were really stepping their foot forward. And so they were making sure that they, you know, laid out their positions and laid out all their bases. And if someone was to be doing that now, you would be, I don't know, this isn't technically a bad word, but I would say it would be masturbatory to be continuing to make current sitcoms like that just for daytime television.
Right.
Right. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
There's more stories that they'd like to tell, I'm sure.
Right. Here's a bit of trivia that I just continually blows my mind, and I've known this for years, and it still amazes me. Isabel Sanford, who played Louise Jefferson, was 21 years older than Sherman Helmsley.
Really?
Who played George Jefferson. You are kidding me.
Nope.
Well, she looked damn good.
The woman who played George's mother
right.
was 12 years older than Isabel Sanford.
Huh.
Good night.
No, I'm sorry. I take that back. She was 20 some odd years older. I'm sorry, I take that back.
My God, man.
But either way, she was old enough to have been George's mother.
Right.
But not quite old enough to have been Louise's mother-in-law. Anyway, but yeah, you would never know it, though. That blew my mind.
Crazy.
The Jeffersons did have one spinoff called Checking In. You guys ever hear about that?
Nope.
Florence, their housekeeper, takes a job as a cleaning management at a hotel, at a fancy hotel, and it only lasted 4 episodes, after which Florence returned to the Jeffersons with the story that the hotel had burned down in a fire.
Oh, my.
The Jeffersons also shared continuity with the sitcom ER, and that's not the drama. That's the sitcom E/R, which starred Elliot Gould and a young George Clooney. It was set in an emergency room.
Huh.
And I know the sitcom, the theme song by heart. It's ridiculous. It was actually a really funny show. It only lasted one season, but it was a funny show. And Sherman Hemsley guest starred as George in 2 episodes of the series. And the cancellation of the Jeffersons cleared the way for Marla Gibbs, who played Florence Johnston on the series, to move on to the NBC sitcom 227 in the fall of 1985, a year earlier than originally scheduled.
Nice.
Okay.
The Jeffersons ended in controversy after CBS abruptly canceled the series without allowing for a proper series finale. The cast was not informed until July 2nd of 1985, until after the episode Red Robins aired. He said he learned the show was canceled by reading it in the newspaper. Isabel Sanford heard about the cancellation through her cousin, who read it in the tabloids.
That's horrible.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because, see, the thing is, like, shows get the rug pulled on them all the time. Wonderful shows do. But to not tell the actors and crew involved and have them finding out in the tabloids, that's incredibly gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. They didn't, apparently they announced it at the upfronts. They didn't even announce, like, to the cast. Franklin Cover, who played Tom Wilson, heard about the cancellation while watching Entertainment Tonight.
That's disgusting.
Yeah,
that's
it is.
So uncouth.
It is, especially, like I said, after 11 seasons. The cast reunited in a stage play based on the sitcom, and in the season 5 episode of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air titled Will Is from Mars, the Jeffersons made a guest appearance as a couple in therapy class, and in the 96 series finale, I did not know this, but I love this, in the 1996 series finale of the show, the Jeffersons made a guest appearance as the buyers of the Banks family house.
I didn't know that.
Tyler Perry show.
Yes.
As themselves.
House of Pain. No, they played George and George. Sherman Hemsley and Marla Gibbs played George and Florence in that episode.
Right, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Isabel Sanford had already passed away.
Yeah.
Isabel Sanford first appeared in the All in the Family episode Lionel Moves Into the Neighborhood, which broadcast on March 2nd of 1971, the 8th episode of the series. And in that original episode, I believe George did not appear. His brother appeared for like 5 or 6 episodes because Sherman Hemsley was in Pearly on Broadway and couldn't get out of the get done in time. And so when he came in, like, he and his brother had one scene together, and then his brother was never heard from again. And of course, Mike Evans, who played Lionel, first appeared in the premiere episode of All in the Family. We talked about that last when we talked about that show a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So Norman Lear created the character of George specifically for Hemsley. And he, again, wanted to appear in the first season, but he had to come in a little bit later. Henry was George's brother's name. The idea for the Jeffersons, quote, moving on up, came after 3 members of the Black Panthers who were fans of Lear's productions visited Lear's office at CBS, raising issue with the creator over the portrayal of Black people on television, including in his Maude spinoff series, Good Times. They said, every time you see a Black man on the tube, he's dirt poor, wears crap clothes, and can't afford anything.
Yeah.
So he consulted with his associate Al Burton on the concept. George and Louise and Lionel continued to appear on All in the Family until 1975 when the spinoff started. The characters of Lionel's multiracial fiance, Jenny, her family, and all of whom first appeared in the 1974 All in the Family episode Lionel's Engagement were also written into the new series, but the roles were recast. Belinda Tolbert took over the role of Jenny. Franklin Cover took over the role of her father, whose name was changed from Lewis. And Roxy Roker took over as her mother. Roxy Roker was asked during a casting interview if she'd be comfortable with her character having a white husband. In response, she showed a picture of her husband, Cy Kravitz, who was white. And if that name sounds familiar, Corey, you probably know who her son is, right?
That would be Lenny Kravitz.
Yep. Roxy Roker's son is Lenny Kravitz. So you got that going for you, which is nice.
Which is nice.
It's a hell of a thing to have going for you.
Yep. So during the January 11th, 1975 episode of All in the Family titled The Jeffersons Move On Up, Edith Bunker gave a tearful goodbye to her neighbor Louise Jefferson as her husband George, their son Lionel, and she moved from a working class section in Queens into the luxurious Colby East, a fictitious high-rise apartment, and the Jeffersons premiered the following week on January 18th. This is something I didn't remember. George's career as a dry cleaner began in the first season of All in the Family. The character himself didn't appear on camera. His car was rear-ended by a bus, and he filed a civil action lawsuit and won $5,000, enough to open his first laundromat in Queens. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning of the Jeffersons, he was operating 5 stores throughout New York City, with another 2 opening during the following seasons. So that's I never knew that about the character.
I remember it briefly, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yep. Marla Gibbs played Florence Johnston, as we talked about. Paul Benedict played Harry Bentley, the loyal, kind, friendly, and dim-witted British next-door neighbor who worked as an interpreter in the United Nations. He was always my favorite character. Even today, I just find him endlessly amusing. And Zara Cully played George's mother, Olivia Mother Jefferson, who constantly disparaged her daughter-in-law. She appeared regularly in the first 2 seasons, but made sporadic appearances over the next 2 years because she was dealing with a severe case of pneumonia, and she died during season 4 from lung cancer. Ned Wertheimer, who we don't meet in this episode, played their tip-hungry doorman, Ralph Hart, and I remember him as well, but he did not appear in this episode. And Danny Wells played Charlie, the owner and bartender of a nearby bar to the Jeffersons' apartment building. Again, we don't meet him in this episode, but I vividly remember him. And here's something I didn't know. Mike Evans, who played Lionel, left the show after the first season, and his replacement was an actor named Damon Evans, no relation, who took over until midway through the 4th season when Mike Evans returned. Oh, I only ever remember Mike Evans in the role. Do either one of you ever remember seeing anyone other than Mike as Lionel?
I don't.
Nope.
Me either. And it was not like he was only on there for like a half a season, like, you know, Coy and Vance Duke. He was on there for several years. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so the theme song, which we all know and love, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Jeanette Dubois and Jeff Barry co-wrote the theme song, which was sung by Dubois with a gospel choir. And I'm assuming it was her doing the humming over the end credits as well. The Jeffersons, in its 11 years, changed time slots at least 15 times.
Wow.
The most common time slot was on Sunday night. But yeah, for it to be as successful as it was for as long as it was to change time slots that many times, that's remarkable.
Yeah, that's usually the kiss of death.
Right. In its first season, the show ranked number 4. The show's rating for the following 2 seasons placed it in the top 30, but during the 77, 78, and 78, 79 seasons, it fell out of the top 30, but it returned to the top 10 the next year, and it finished 3rd overall in 1981-82, only surpassed by Dallas in 60 Minutes. And then it remained in the top 20 for the next 2 seasons. It received 4 Emmy nominations during its time on the air. 14 Emmy Award nominations. Marla Gibbs was nominated for Best Supporting Actress every year from 81 to 85. Sherman Hemsley was nominated for Best Actor in 84. Isabel Samford was nominated for 7 consecutive Emmys for Best Actress from 79 until 85. She won in 1981. It made her the first African-American actress to win an Emmy for Best Actress in a Comedy Series, and the second to win an Emmy Award overall.
Nice.
The first being Gail Fisher, who played Peggy on Mannix, won in 1970. So, yeah, to say the show was groundbreaking is an understatement, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, I'd be interested in what you guys think when we get done. I personally like the Jeffersons more than I do All in the Family anytime I've tried to watch it. And I think it's maybe because I saw it more when I was a kid. But do you guys have a preference one over the other?
I also think I prefer the Jeffersons because of childhood exposure. But I was trying to think about that while we were getting ready to record. And I think there's a sense of warmth that's in the Jeffersons that is not as prevalent in All in the Family. And I might just perceive that because I think that Mr. Jefferson, he reminds me a lot of my Uncle Kenneth, just the way he plays off of the things that people say to him. And my Uncle Kenneth is also kind of a tiny guy, but, you know, he's just got a lot of energy in him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I'm reminded more of my own family by the Jeffersons, because there's a lot more, I would say, vitriol in the bickering that happens on All in the Family.
And for me, Corey, what about you? Do you have a preference?
No, I think the Jeffersons is my hands down favorite as well.
Me too. And I think for me, I think a big part of it is I think Florence makes a big difference. Yeah. She sort of forms a triangle with George and Louise, and we don't have as much. Lionel was on the show, but he was never, you know, there weren't that many storylines focused on him And there was, it was really a clash between these three people instead of the parents and the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Florence, Marla Gibbs as Florence, I think is really what puts the show over the top for me.
You know, that makes a lot of sense because that makes a lot of the jokes in the Jeffersons. There's not a lot of punching down, you know, everyone's kind of on an even keel. Whereas on All in the Family, you've got parents, you know, pooping on kids. You've got kids arguing back at their parents. It's all just one of those. That's a good point. Yeah.
Well, and everybody on the show that came into the apartment, for the most part, was, you know, successful in one way or another. And so, like you said, there was not punching down. It was, you know, punching up or punching parallel.
Yeah. Well, so, and even people who are at some sort of a disadvantage, like Henry, the neighbor, Mrs. Jefferson was like, you know, hey, don't be so hard on him. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about, you know?
Right.
And so, you know, if punching down does happen, it tends to be either, you know, mitigated or recognized immediately or used as a teachable moment in the show. It's not just, you know, mean for the sake of being mean.
Yeah.
And I think as well, you know, All in the Family can get preachy. And I think the Jeffersons avoided that for the most part.
Yeah, I think so.
They got the point across while still being funny with not having to stop and sort of lecture the audience.
I agree.
Yeah. So we talked about the theme song. I used to get the lyrics wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I used to think it was, we're moving on up 2 feet high, until I realized 2 feet isn't really that high.
Right.
Okay. See, that's not what happened to me. I knew it was moving on up to the east side. It's just I couldn't remember anything after that in the correct order. So I would just always start the song and then just sort of ramble finish it.
Fish don't fry in the kitchen is one line that always tripped me up. I never knew what they were saying there.
Okay.
And then where it says, now we're up in the big leagues when I was a kid, I thought they were saying, now in love, Mr. Bentley, because Mr. Bentley was on the show.
That's great.
That's what I still hear. And I have to remind myself, no, it's now we're up in the big leagues.
Yep.
Yeah. So I watched this on Amazon Prime and I noticed the episode is 27 minutes long.
Yeah.
Didn't feel like it, though.
No, it didn't. Went pretty quick.
Yeah. Went by quick. I also love the shots in the credits. I love the shots of the two of them holding hands and George comforting Louise in the credits. And they share a laugh together. It really contradicts the antagonism of the episodes. And it kind of shows you, okay, these two do have a warm relationship, even if they don't always get along.
Big time. Yep,
very true.
Yeah. So when the episode opens, we open on Louise and her friend Diane coming back from grocery shopping, and Louise invites her in for coffee. And she has the first best joke in the show. Two things are no fun at all unless you've got company, and the other one is coffee.
Yep.
I loved it. Louise drops her apples after hearing the phone ring. As Diane picks them up, Mr. Bentley comes out and makes a really bad joke about Isaac Newton and gravity. And Paul Benedict looks like a cartoon character, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That chin.
He looks like a Schoolhouse Rock character to me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's great. I love this actor in this role. He's great. And he was also, you saw Waiting for Guffman. He's in that as well.
Yes.
So, like I said, I always liked his character. It becomes apparent that Diane thinks Louise is a maid, but not one of the Jeffersons. Inside, she talks about how nice the apartment is and worries about getting Louise in trouble with her boss for coming in. And I'm going to ask you guys about this. This is a decent exchange and a reasonable misunderstanding because of the era. And the dialogue only toes the line when she says, come on, just ask one, you know, it toes the line of, come on, just ask one question, and being a believable misunderstanding. And what I mean by that is, to me, this makes sense. They don't belabor this, and it's not, there's not so much information that this character, this Diane character, is just oblivious to have not figured it out. Did you guys feel like that as well?
I felt like it was a tiny bit belabored, just because I feel like that would have been cleared up already. Like you said, it was just sort of a one question away thing. Like, did you guys just meet in the hallway and decide to be friends?
Right.
Well, they met down doing laundry.
Well, I know. I was being sarcastic. That's okay. What I mean. I would think that down doing laundry, there's enough time to figure out something like that. I just think that that's how conversations, especially in that time period, would go.
Right. Yeah. Corey, what about you? Did you kind of feel that as well? Like I said, I feel like it toes that line.
Yeah, I think it does. But I do agree with Regina that it felt a little stilted almost.
Okay. I didn't get that. I get where you're coming from and I can see how you get that. It didn't play that way for me. And that's something I always hate about sitcoms is when it's, you know, again, if somebody just asked one question or said one thing, it would clear everything up. And I don't think that was the case here because it doesn't go on for that long.
No, it wasn't overt. It was just by a hair.
And so enter George Jefferson, the force of nature that is Sherman Hemsley.
Yep.
He calls Louise Wheezy and makes a joke about Louise being past the point of an Avon lady when he thinks Diana's an Avon lady, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And Diane thinks George is a butler, and George clears it up for her. And of course, Diane chokes on her coffee and thinks he's joking. And she's confused because she says George is too young to be a basketball player and too old to be a rock singer.
Right.
So she thinks he's a numbers runner, but then they explain that he owns several cleaning businesses, including the one downstairs, which, again, great exposition. If you're somebody who didn't know All in the Family and this is your first time watching the show, to me, this works.
Perfectly.
Yep.
Okay. So Diane explains her confusion, and we see that George really buys into status and hierarchy and looks down on her for being a maid, while Louise really does just want to be her friend. And that's sort of the push and pull that we get from the series from here on out, as George is, you know, George is very proud of what he's accomplished, and he wants to forget where he came from. And, you know, he really has forgotten where he came from.
Yeah, he has, to an extent.
So Diane leaves, and George is impressed that she called him Mr. Jefferson. And George refers to her as a domestique, as he says it. And then we get a great exchange about their different outlooks on the current status. George feels like he's above it all, and Louise just hasn't forgotten where she came from. And here's where, you know, we start to get a lot of great barbs at George's expense, much like Archie Bunker did. He's sort of the opposite of Archie because he thinks he's better than everyone else because of his status, but we later learn that he does have a racist streak. Whereas Archie Bunker, you know, thought he was better than everyone else because he thought everyone else thought they were better than him.
Right.
You know, whereas, you know, he took pride in being an everyman. George takes pride in the fact that he doesn't consider himself an everyman. And I love this joke. He has a great joke about George wearing the pants in the family, and Louise tells him to zip them up. When he zips them up, just include your mouth.
Yep.
And so does Isabel Sanford's voice get on anybody's nerves?
Mm-mm. No.
No.
Okay. It's very raspy, and I always just feel like she needs a cough drop.
All right. I
love
that.
The actress. Love her performance, but the voice just sometimes is a little caustic to me.
Everybody was smoking back then.
Right. So Mr. Bentley comes back in to return an apple that fell. He comes in and asks George to walk on his back. And this is a recurring joke. This is even later on, you would see this like in the credits, right. Like the closing credits and everything. He likes the way George does it. He mentions his rhythm, which George takes offense to. But again, you get the feeling that Bentley didn't mean anything by it. He's just kind of a dolt.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you were mentioning about Corey is,
yes.
Yeah, that he honestly does not mean anything by it. And obviously he works at the United Nations. You would assume that's not the case. So George asks him, you know, if he's ever friends with his domestics, and Bentley says he was friends with his nanny. And so George discounts his response and, you know, his story about, you know, playing with her, the chin hair or something is just hilarious. So George says he's just trying to make things nice for Louise. He wants to take her to lunch, but she has to clean the windows. George says she doesn't have to do it. And we get Louise's first mention of Mother Jefferson, who we meet soon. And so George tells her to hire a maid, and Louise feels strange about doing it. And George suggests she hires Diane as her maid, and she doesn't want to call her. She doesn't want her to call her ma'am. And you get that, you know, you're trying to be friends with someone, you're not going to want to hire them.
Yeah.
And George, this is one of my favorite lines in the show. George says some people have to be ma'ams and some have to be mammies. I thought it was a good joke. A horrible thing to say, but a good joke. So they start to argue, and Lionel comes in and stops him. And we met him in the Pilot of All in the Family. He mentions that Jenny's family, who's his girlfriend and their maid, and George says he figured they'd have three. One for Day, one for Mr. Day, one for Mrs. Knight, and one for Miss Plaid. And we find out later they're a mixed race couple. So this is where we get that George is every bit as much of a racist as Archie Bunker.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's where we have a commercial break. We come back and Louise is talking to the Willises, who is the mixed race couple. Tom Willis suggests that she files for divorce as a joke. And his wife, Helen, says she's guilty. His wife, Helen, says she's feeling guilty about it. And she and Tom make a very valid point about the best things in life are free being something that rich people came up with to make poor people think money isn't important.
Yeah.
I had never thought of that before, and it kind of blew my mind.
I've definitely thought about that before, and I big agree.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's definitely something to it, but I'd never heard that sentiment before. I never heard it spoken, and it just didn't occur to me. And I was like, what the hell? Wow. And I love their interplay. Their interplay as a couple, because you can just tell they have a lot of fun together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom excuses himself so the two ladies can talk, and Helen explains to Louise that it's possible to have money and enjoy life. And Louise talks about never being able to go shopping, and she has a joke about three types of dresses, but I didn't catch it, you know, off.
It was 50% off secondhand, or like someone a dress that someone returned and then she bought back, or something that she was given.
Yeah. Right. She says she's had more fights in the last weekend than when they were poor. And she quotes the Bible. She actually misquotes because she says money is the root of all evil. And what the Bible actually says is the love of money is a root of all evil. Makes me mad when people get that wrong. Mm-hmm. And Tom quotes George Bernard Shaw. So we see the difference in their backgrounds, obviously, you know, right here. So George returns home and immediately asks what the Willises are doing there. And Tom says, basking in the warmth of your welcome.
Right.
So good.
And then George responds, well, if you do two baskers, will excuse me. It's great. I just love this. So they leave with a final dig at George. And George changes his tune when he learns that they agree with him about the maid. So the Willises suggest they use their maid since she only comes twice a week. And George says he doesn't want a used maid. And they'll have one every day with a uniform. So he's all about status and looking rich, whether it's something they need or not. They all give him a hard time and he tells them to get out. So, and that's just a mindset that I've never understood. And I think we all three are in the same, in agreement on this, since that's a word.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If I could buy any car I wanted, I would probably have the car that I have now.
Yeah.
A Toyota Corolla. You know, it's a good car. I don't get it.
I don't know. I might do something goofy with the car. But like,
well, that's I probably would too, let's be honest.
Like, but probably 8 months ago, right? Josh bought me this really cute pair of Nikes, like brand new Nikes, not the cheapest. I have never worn them. They have sat like a display in my room because they're white, first of all, with like pastel colors. And I do not trust myself not to get them dirty. So my anxiety over ruining them has prevented me from wearing them in any capacity. So I don't think having money would make me automatically buy a bunch of stuff I didn't need because I'm so anxious about damaging everything.
Sure.
I once knew a guy who every time he bought a new pickup, he carried a hammer with him and he would go up under the wheel well and hit it before he left the lot. So he said, now it's got its first dent. I don't have to worry about it.
You know, all psychologically, right. That makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I getting something just because it's the most expensive or something like that just never made sense to me. I'm definitely Team Louise here. So they're all yelling and everything. And Lionel comes out of his room to find out why they're yelling. And he and Jenny, the Willis's daughter, are in his room listening to music. And George demands she comes out. And she comes out with a blanket wrapped around her with her hair all mussed and like one sock on. And of course, it's all a joke because she's fully clothed under the blanket. Right. And Helen says that color of blanket doesn't suit her, which I think was great. And so she and Lionel fake a fight and tell George that's how they look. And the two young people trot back to the room very pleased with themselves. And it was a great little exchange there.
That was so smooth. The timing was really well done on that.
Exactly. That's the timing on this show was always just crackerjack. It was great. George says they could have stopped him before he made a fool of himself. And Louise says she wasn't there when he was born.
All right.
And so Louise tells George that Tom and Helen never fight. And George says it's because they're scared to stating that Tom would inevitably use the N-word toward Helen. And then he says it. And the usage did decrease a lot as we got into the 80s and political correctness became more prominent. And I think in this case, it's appropriate since it did start to hit people's ears much differently later on. Like you said, Regina, it made its point here. But had it continued, it would have the word would have become the subject, not the point they were trying to make. Don't you think?
Very much so.
Yeah.
So the Willises go outside. They're very upset about him using the word. And Tom states it's never happened. And Helen says that she would never say the H word. Like I said, I'm just being consistent toward Tom. And outside, she asks Tom what it says that she said the word. And Tom says, well, it makes sense. It hasn't it ever crossed your mind? And Tom admits that the N word has crossed his. And they have a great talk about how we can't stop our thoughts, but we can control how we live. And it could come off as very preachy. But the scene gets undercut by Mr. Bentley coming off the elevator with a plant while they kiss. And he says he'll come back later.
Yeah.
Right.
From his home. Like he's leaving his home. He's just the sweetest. He's so funny.
He's just very, very British.
Ugh.
And I think that's what makes the Jeffersons work for me in a way that all in the Family never did, is that the supporting cast I like a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day, Louise is upset because the maid is late for her interview, even though it's actually 5 minutes before the appointment. The doorbell rings and it's Mother Jefferson. And Zara Cully is delightfully catty in this role. Like, hate her, don't you?
Yeah.
Yep.
But
I'm also kind of scared of her because we had one of these in my family.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. And Grandmother Graves. And yeah, she was a thing. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I'll send you a picture. I'll send you a picture.
Grandmother yeah. Graves sounds exactly like that character. That's like the yeah. perfect name.
No, and there was no, it wasn't like Grandma G-Ma. It was Grandmother Graves.
Yeah. Grandmother Graves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like she wore gowns and ish. Too. Yeah. She was a thing. She was great.
Uh-huh.
And I bet she lived to a ripe old age, didn't she?
Yep.
Yep. They always do.
Mm-hmm.
George snaps at her about where they grew up. Louise snaps at George, and Mother tells her not to pick on him. And then Mother Jefferson inadvertently agrees with Louise about the maid, and then changes her tune when Louise brings it up. Louise almost tells her off, but George sends Mother into the kitchen for some coffee. So the doorbell rings, and Florence comes in, introduces herself. And I said it before, I think Florence is one of the greatest supporting sitcom characters ever, in mm-hmm. my opinion.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
If ever there was a melding of character and actor that was perfect, this is it. And she sees Mother in the kitchen and thinks she's a cook. And she's very polite, which doesn't last long after she gets the job. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she insists that she'll clean the windows every week. So they hire her, and she answers the door to see Diane. And they know each other because they both work for the same service. And Diane is upset that they didn't hire her instead of Florence. And Louise explains with her friend, so she can't ask her to work for her. And Diane says she's glad not everyone's as friendly as Louise, or she'd starve to death.
Yep.
And so, and I think it says something about Diane, where she's, you know, she basically is saying, I need the job more than I need your friendship.
Right.
And I think that was interesting to me, because it says something about Louise already sort of losing touch with that part of her life, you know,
mm-hmm.
where that doesn't occur to her. So Helen shows up, and we learn that Diane is their maid, as the Willis's maid. And Florence says Diane can work something out with them, and then she can go find another job, which, fine, whatever. But she asks Louise Helen one thing. She says, if they both have apartments in the building, she says, if we overcame, how come nobody told me?
So well delivered. That was so funny.
Audience erupts, and we cut to the closing credits, which is a slower version of the theme hummed over an image of the building. And I just, what a great pilot.
Mm-hmm. Truly.
We meet all the main characters with the exception of the doorman in truly organic ways. The only thing I don't know is how Florence ends up as the maid, because she gives the job up. So I guess we'll have to go back to watch the next episode to get that info. But so what do you guys think? Do you guys remember Ralph the doorman? Yes.
I remember the doorman. There was one more character that you said that was not yet introduced.
And oh, the barkeep. Yeah.
Yeah, the barkeep. I can't picture him in my mind.
He wasn't on very many episodes, but he did have a fairly good story arc where they found out he was an alcoholic.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, he wasn't on the show very much, but I do remember. And I remember the set for the bar. I didn't remember it until I was doing the research, and I remembered the character, and then I can vividly see the bar. It's weird. I feel like I watched the show a lot more than I think I did.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially the last few seasons. So, yeah, I don't know. So I already said Mr. Bentley's my favorite character. Corey, who is your favorite character on the show?
I mean, it would have to be George followed by Bentley. Just the quick, witty responses that Sherman Helmsley was able to do, and the heart that was throughout the show from his character, even though he was the gruff exterior. I always connected with it, and I always liked it.
Well, and you walk like him, too, so that makes sense.
I mean, it doesn't hurt, yeah.
You should see Corey strut. Folks, I'm telling you.
It's a hell of a thing, friends.
Swinging his arms behind him.
Three-piece suit.
Yeah. And oddly enough, it's always the same size suit that Sherman Helmsley wearing. Corey's a good 6 to 7 inches taller. So, yeah. it's an interesting look.
I walk through a lot of puddles. I like my pants high-waisted and high-legged.
Regina, what about you? Who is your favorite character on the show?
I think, honestly, I'm right there with Corey. I think it's George, and then I think it is Bentley. George for the familial nostalgia and the banter, and Bentley just for the sweet innocence and British humor.
You know, it's funny to me because I love Bentley. Like I said, I think he's my favorite character, but I also love Florence. And George, it's funny as George is, he's always, more often than not, he is the butt of the jokes. Like, he'll get a zinger off, but then somebody else will come right over him with something that zings him even worse.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And again, that it takes, you know, it takes a really talented and in sync ensemble to make that work. And I think that's why George never stuck out to me as the one that I would cling to, because you're not supposed to, I guess that's what it is.
Yeah, I get that.
So I think that's maybe why it's like Archie Bunker. I feel bad saying I like Archie Bunker as a character because I don't. I don't like him as a person. But I think what's funny is, Regina and Corey, did you guys ever watch Amen?
No.
No.
It's a series in the 90s that Sherman Hemsley was in.
Right.
With Clifton Davis. He played the deacon of a church. And it was a very, very similar character, but more subdued energy.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the same sort of, you know, very snarky character. But again, it was a different character. That's one I wish I could find streaming somewhere. That was a good show. Also had a great theme song.
So George Jefferson subdued is just Bob Newhart to me.
Not that subdued.
Okay.
That subdued. No, he was still George Jefferson. But imagine George Jefferson at about half speed.
Okay.
Yeah. Whereas Bob Newhart is George Jefferson as a turtle, I feel like. I'm guessing, are you guys going to go watch any more? I've already watched several episodes. I skipped around a little bit. I didn't go back and watch the second one yet, but I have watched several. What about you guys?
I'll probably watch some more.
I don't know that I'll go back and watch more, but I enjoyed the reminiscing of it, and it definitely hit that nostalgic twinge for me.
But see, that's what I mean. I think I could get a couple more hits of the nostalgia. What I'm not going to be doing is probably going back and watching all 200 some odd episodes right. in chronological order. Because I'm not really at a point in my life where I'll watch 200 episodes of anything.
Except Perfect Strangers.
You know, right. Well, yeah, I would. You can give me an episode of that every single day until the end of time and I would keep watching it. But yeah, that's just one of those really massive commitments these days because there's just so much freaking TV.
Yep.
No, it is. It is. It helps that there are, you know, they're only half hour episodes. So it's something I'll put on. It's probably something that I'll put on like while I eat dinner or something. We usually will do that around here. We've been watching that 70s show, rewatching that. While we eat.
Oh, that's a nice one.
Yeah.
For the sake of efficiency, I might do something like, you know, top five Jeffersons and whether or not they ring a bell, I'll watch them, you know?
That's not a bad idea.
There you go.
Yeah. But you would recommend, if anybody is interested in it, you would I think the show holds up. I really do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It does not feel like a show that is, what, 40, going on 50 years old.
No. Well, and even if it did, bro, like, go watch it. I love all those shows. Like
right, but what I mean, like, to a modern audience with modern sensibilities, modern attention spans, I mean, it moves, it books.
Well, they can modern go back and figure it out, and they're not going to do that unless they start watching that type of pacing. So go watch all of these things.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
What Regina said. Okay, I admire that, Regina. All right, folks. Well, we'd love to hear what you think about All in the Family after you go watch it. So head to the Facebook page and let us know what you think. Until next time, for the pilot episode, I'm Jeff.
I'm Corey.
And I'm Regina, and Jeff meant the Jeffersons.
What did I say?
All in the Family.
Did I?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
It's okay, I fixed it. Alley-oop.
Okay, wow.
I heard some ears flap just now.
Yes, you did. Okay, well, if they keep making them, we'll keep watching, and if you keep listening, we'll keep talking.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. For more episodes of this show or other Marvin Dog Media productions, go to marvindogmedia.com to stream or download the shows or to subscribe via iTunes. Email us at marvindogmedia@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @MarvinDogMedia. Follow us on Pinterest at pinterest.com/MarvinDogMedia. This podcast has been a production of Marvin Dog Media, all rights reserved. How many times can we say Marvin Dog Media?
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.